If you'd all just open your hymnals to hymn 104, we'll start with that. Jesus Christ. It is good to see so many visitors here today. There are a number of faces that I don't recognize, and hopefully that I will make it around to greet you. I'm not the most outgoing person, so if I don't make it up to you guys, don't feel afraid to approach me. I don't bite anybody's head off. Today is, of course, first Sunday of the month, which is traditionally the day that we take the sacrament to remember that covenant that we have made with Jesus Christ. And it also is the first Sunday of December, which to me is pretty much the beginning of the Christmas season, if you can't tell by some of the hymns that I've chosen this morning. So in light of that, I've got a couple scriptures out of Luke that I would like to read, one at the beginning of Christ's life and one towards the end. Starting on chapter 2 with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord appeared unto them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the way you shall find the babe. He is wrapped in swaddling clothes and is lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass when the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. All they who heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as were manifested unto them. And then from Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. For those who listen on the internet, we post our sermons on the internet. I would like to introduce those people who are up front with me. Starting on my far right, your left, is Elder Dan Shearer, who will be bringing the pastoral prayer. Then we have Elder Micah Bates, who will be bringing the morning message. And Priest Caleb Postlewaite will be bringing the communion remarks. And then to my immediate left, your right, Elder Paul Williams will be bringing the prayer over the bread and helping serve. Elder Richard Sanders will be bringing the prayer over the wine and also serving. And we have Priest Larry Ellis, who will be serving. Priest Josiah Bates, who will be bringing the benediction and serving. And then Priest Mike Hancock, who will be bringing the invocation and also serving. And I am Elder Vance Kellinger. If we could continue with, with hymn number 122, after which we will have the invocation.
Now Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for all the wonderful blessings that are present in our lives, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity that we have to come gather together and worship you. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be with us during this service, with my brothers that are speaking, Lord, that they might say the words that you would have for this congregation, that I might uplift and strengthen them, Lord. I pray that you forgive us of our sins as we come before your table, Lord, that we might remember your sacrifice for us, that we might be a people willing to do your work and to build your kingdom. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Preparations for today, I was given one of the same scriptures that Vance just read from Luke 22:19. And he took bread and gave thanks, and brake and gave them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And that last part there is what really stood out to me, "This do in remembrance of me." Because that to me is what, communion service is about. And so I was thinking about, what does it mean to remember Christ? So, when we're remembering friends or family or people we've come in contact with, we kind of think about things they did or things they said or what impact that they might have had on our lives. And I think we can remember Christ the same way, even though we maybe didn't walk and talk with him like we did with a friend or a family member. We still have studied and learned about him, and we can think about what he did and what he stood for and the things that he wanted to teach us. And so I think the first and most important thing he taught us was how to love each other and how to forgive each other. And it made me think of the story of the woman who was caught in adultery. The reaction of the mob when they caught her and brought her to Jesus, they was all angry, and they wanted to stone this woman for the sin that she'd committed. And I think that's the classic response of mankind, is to punish people for things they did. You know, you've heard the phrase, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, give them their just rewards, I guess. And Jesus' message here on earth kind of challenged all that. He told them, he is without sin, cast the first stone. He showed us the way of forgiveness and of compassion. And to me, remembering Christ means focusing on these teachings that he gave us and trying to behave the same way towards others. That's basically the covenant that we made in baptism, was to, we made a promise to God to try and live our lives like Jesus, and to try and treat others like we would want to be treated. And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is how we remember and renew that covenant that we made in the waters of baptism. I was kind of looking up definitions of the word communion, and, you know, there's some in, you know, dictionaries and other ones a little bit different in the scriptures, and I kind of hodgepodged one together, and to me, I think it means spending time in intimate communication with God. All of us have come today to God's house to commune with him. And here we're sitting around his table, and we've each been invited here as personal guests of the King of the universe. And as we sit in God's house at his table, and we've been invited here, a lot of times you invite people over to your house, you know, you try and prepare a nice meal for them. Well, what God's prepared for us today isn't a roast or a brisket or a casserole. What he offers us today is salvation. He offers us freedom from all the sin and all the death that we find ourselves surrounded by in this world, and all too often involved in and caught up in. And this isn't something that he could just run down to the supermarket and pick up the ingredients for. The cost of today's meal was his only son. And I know a lot of times when somebody tries to offer me a gift, you know, especially if it's a really nice gift, you know, my first response is to kind of say, oh, you know, no, that's too much. I don't deserve this. Because we know what a sacrifice that person made to give us that gift. And, you know, maybe feel a little bit unworthy because maybe I don't feel like, oh, maybe I haven't been a good enough friend to that person, or maybe I haven't been there for them every time that I could have been. And so I don't feel worthy to accept this gift that I know that they went to great lengths to get for me. But today God desperately wants us to accept this gift that he's offering us. He wants us to accept that sacrifice that he and his son made for our sins. So this morning as you partake, I would ask that you would do so reverently, making sure and you take time to consider the cost of that gift and what it meant to him. And that he wanted so badly just to give us that opportunity. It's not even a guarantee, you know. He just gave us that opportunity to come to him. So he wanted so badly to make that sacrifice, just to give us that opportunity, just to give us that choice, that it was worth it to him to send his only son to earth to die for us. And how much that must mean for him and how much he must love us. And so I don't want you to just think about the bread and the wine and trying hard not to spill, or, you know, thinking about what you might be doing this afternoon. I want you to take time as everything's being prepared and as the priesthood are walking down the aisle and getting ready to hand out the bread and the wine, that you take time to remember that covenant that you made with your God, and take time to consider the cost of that sacrifice that he made, and think about things in your life that might be keeping you from fulfilling that covenant, and thinking about how what changes you can make in your life to better serve your God.
Yeah.
close communionists, so for those of you who are visitors, if you have not made that covenant through baptism and confirmation, we would ask that you would refrain from partaking. We would ask you to continue to worship with us, and if you have any questions or would like more information, feel free to talk to any of the men you see up front or any of the other priesthood members who are available.
Will you kneel with me as we read the blessing on the bread?
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments which He hath given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen. Thank you.
Again, as much as possible, should we kneel facing the emblem in prayer of wine and bread? O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with him. Amen.
Are there any who might have missed their portion of the bread or the wine?
Deal of time in preparation for this moment, standing before you here. Probably more than I ever have before. And probably more than I ever have before, I felt unworthy. Unworthy to stand before you. Unworthy of the blessings that I've received in my life. Yet I'm reminded of something. You see, my cousin Annan is a collector of antiques. And see, antiques are amazing things, and they can be extremely, extremely valuable. But it turns out that they're only as valuable. They're only worth as much as someone is willing to pay for them. We've come here this morning to remember. To remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. That while we were yet sinners, He died and paid the price that someday we would be free. And this is the worth of a soul to the God who created it. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is everlasting life, to know God and his Son, Jesus Christ. We have this sermon on a CD by Arthur Oakman that my family likes to listen to. I've probably heard it close to 100 times. And I said earlier that Christ died that we might be free. Sometimes I think we live in an illusion of freedom. We value our freedom as a people in this nation. The freedom to do as we please. And in a sense, we are free. We are free in that we can make our own choices. We can choose what we'll do from day to day. But we are bound hand and foot. Because from ourselves, there is no freedom. From the choices that we have made, from the sinners that we are, there is no deliverance. Christ came into the world the only begotten Son of the Father and showed us what freedom truly is. The freedom is not doing as we please. Freedom is living in subservience, is giving up your own will to the will of the God that created you, that made you and knows you and loves you and wants the best for you. He never forgets you. He has not lost track of you. He understands your pain. He was here on this earth. He went through the trials and temptations. And in all he proclaimed, not my will, but thine be done. And this is freedom, brothers and sisters. You see, as a sinner, this illusion of freedom, it holds me in that I think that I can do whatever I want. But the truth is that we can't. That only in Christ are we free. Because as a sinner, we cannot choose to be righteous. We cannot choose to have joy at a whim. But in Christ, the though I hope if you are in Christ you won't make this decision. But in Christ you have the choice of righteousness. You have the choice of joy and peace and love. And you also have the choice of sin. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this is condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. He who believeth on him is not condemned, but he who believeth not is condemned already, I'm not a great orator. I don't have a lot of fancy words. And it wouldn't matter if I did. Because men have stood before men and used all of their fancy words, their cunning speeches. And they've not been listened to. But it is my prayer that the Holy Spirit rests upon you now and bears witness to you. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I do not say this because I was raised being taught that, or because I have this hefty black book that tells me so. I say this because mine is a life that has been changed by him. And of no power of my own do I stand before you right now. To declare to you that he desires your whole soul, your whole heart, not just part of it. You see, I was in danger a month ago of becoming a pessimist. I started looking at the people around me, in the church, in my life. And nothing was as I'd planned. And this thought came to me that we all have a point of compromise. A point at which we'll compromise everything to save ourselves. To save ourselves from some amount of pain or whatever it might be. I have several speeding tickets. And I remember one time coming home from a camp, a senior high camp. I just had the most amazing experience. Where for the first time, I felt truly forgiven for my sins. And I felt like I understood what that meant. I know now I didn't, and I'm not sure I even do now. But we were driving home, it was in Lamoni, Iowa, and so it was a 2-hour drive home. And I remember being so excited, and all my friends were, you know, we were all driving home. We had a great week at camp, and then we get onto the highway, we're all pulling away together, and boom, they're gone. And I about stepped on the accelerator and went to catch them. This peace came over me. I backed back down to the speed limit. I went the speed limit for the whole 2 hours. Probably the first time in my life. Now, back then I sped just for the... just for the sake of getting there earlier. Didn't want to spend so much time on the road. Nowadays, more often than not, I find myself running behind. I'm thinking, man, I'm gonna be late. I've gotta get there. And to save myself the pain of being late for something, sometimes I'll go 5-10 miles over the speed limit, depending, you know, varying with traffic, you know. To save myself that pain. And I decided on November 9th of this year, that I wanted to find my point of compromise. And I wanted to get rid of it. That regardless of what I've done to myself, I wanted to live a life of truth. I wanted to live a life in which I didn't try to cover up my mistakes, pretend that they didn't exist, or try to bend the truth to keep from suffering from them. Brothers and sisters, where is your point of compromise? Will you tell a lie to make yourself look better? Will you go a few miles over the speed limit to save a minute or two? We, as a people this morning, heard our covenant that we have made with Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. We remember the sacrifice that he made for us. I don't want us at all this morning to play down that sacrifice in any way, shape, or form. And so I'd like to speak in my few moments that I have left about what that sacrifice means to me. I said earlier that, as I quoted, my mom told me to have my scriptures all written out beforehand. That this is eternal life, to know God and to know His Son, Jesus Christ. And I don't know much of Him. But once again, as Arthur Oakman said, what I do know has changed my life. I do know that he was a man just like we are. I do know that without him, none of us would be here. And I don't mean be here in this room. I mean be here at all. Because we learn in, I believe, Romans. Chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the verse before that says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no deliverance, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, Adam fell. We were all created for a purpose and a reason. You see, God is a loving God. It's repeated over and over in Scripture that He is love. That is the very nature of His being, that He is love. And I think most of you here have tasted a little bit of that love in your lives. From friends and family members. Some of you have known the joy of being able to give something up for someone else. God loves us, period. And He created us to live in that love, to live in that joy and that peace. He created us for this purpose. For this purpose, that if we did live in that love and recognize that that love came from our Father in heaven, that He would have joy as well. For just like a parent looks on their children and wants the best for them, He wants the best for us. He longs for us to have peace and to accomplish great things. Those are his desires for you, and that's the purpose for which you were created. But all have sinned and fallen short of that glory. And we know that the wages of sin are death. And so if all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin are death, are we not all dead? Do we not all deserve that? That in the face of the loving Savior we have spat and said, our way is better than yours. But here we stand. Sit, stand. Here we are, right here. Because from the beginning of time, God saw you and me. You see, God said, let there be light. And there was light. A simple phrase, the God of the universe, right? He just said it, and it was. And yet another scripture that we read. In the meridian of time, he prayed for the souls of men in the garden. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he prayed the more earnestly for our souls. This is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It was no big deal. Let there be light. And there was light. God created the world and the heavens and the universe around us. Everything that we see, he created. And yet, to change my sinful heart, caused that same great God extreme pain. This is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This is the love that he has shown us. No greater love hath any man than that he should lay down his life for his friends. This is freedom. This is freedom that we have the opportunity to give up our will to the will of the Father, and the will of the God who created us and who wants what's best for us and who knows what's best for us. And has the power through the sacrifice of his Son to bring that to pass in our lives. If we will simply give up. If we will discontinue spending our time on the useless things of this world. And feel a sense of urgency at the time that we have left. To feel a sense of urgency in our school, in our work, in our retirement, in our interaction with our friends and family. There's a song by Casting Crowns. And it speaks of a man. He says, here I go again, talking about the rain and mulling over things that won't live past today. And as I dance around the truth, time is not his friend. This might be the last chance to tell him that you love him. But here I go again. Has Jesus Christ become real in your life? Do you know him? I pray once again that the Spirit of the Lord has rested on your hearts, even as he has on mine this morning, to a remembrance of the love that he has for us, to his mercy towards us, being so unworthy, and yet of such great worth, because he paid the price for us. And recognizing that it is not just us in this room, but that he requires the same that he required of his son, that we would sacrifice ourselves, our own wants and our own desires, for his. Let us recognize that we do have room to grow, and that there is a kingdom waiting for it, waiting to be built. Let us turn from our wicked ways, repenting and coming to the Father who's standing with open arms. This is my prayer.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this opportunity we've had to gather this morning and to be able to feast upon the bread and the wine, even that bread and wine that is symbolic of the broken body and spilt blood of your Son. And Father, also reminded that traditionally this is the time that the world is a little more focused upon the reason that we do celebrate this season of Christmas. And Father, I'm reminded of those shepherds who long ago were abiding in their field, and the angel came unto them and spoke to them to fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And Father, may we be that people that experience that joy. In this life we have many fears, we have many doubts, many challenges, and many burdens to bear. But through that joy that was given unto us through the gift of your Son, we can overcome all those, Father. And we once again have that opportunity to come back into thy presence. Father, during this season of Christmas, we'll be reminded many times that to show our love one another, we need to buy the most expensive presents and gifts that we can and spend the most money we can, even beyond our means, just to show that love to one another and how much we care for one another. And Father, it does not compare to the gift which was given unto us through the gift of your Son. We're reminded that in the morning of time, the divine became human even as we are. He lived and suffered and endured the same afflictions of the flesh that we did. And he set that example for us, and knowing that we might be able to overcome them. And then he was willing to go to the cross and bear our sins, that we might be able to come back into the presence of the Father. So even now, Father, I pray that your Spirit and that your love and joy would pour out upon this people, that they might experience that joy that even those shepherds experienced years ago, and that they would share it with those that they come in contact with, that the world might be a different place, and that as we live in a world filled with bitterness and wickedness and strife, we might make a difference, and we might be able to share that light, that joy that is reflected in our lives. So Father, help us to be that joyous people. And when that angel spoke, he was speaking even of us, that joy of and message of great tidings was to all people, and it's reached down to the meridian of time, even unto this day, December 4th, 2011, to this people. May we experience it and rejoice in it. And may it change our lives. And may we align it even to that example that Jesus showed us. So, Father, be with us in the days ahead as we reflect upon thy goodness and mercy and upon the reason why we celebrate. And may it not just be one time a year, but may it be continually throughout our lives, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Service. We are grateful towards you for inviting each year. And thank you for those that answered your call and are here worshiping today. We thank you for allowing your Holy Spirit to dwell here amongst us. We thank you for that opportunity to once again remember the greatest gift, the gift of your Son. Lord, I pray now as we close this service that your Spirit will continue to go with us as we part ways. And thank you, Lord, for this day that we can rest and remember all those blessings that you provide to us. We praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.